All right. Thank you, Lindsay. You guys are way too kind, man. Much more lively than first service, you know. So you guys score points with me. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny, you know, whenever I hear the word volleyball, I'm kind of a movie buff, and all I ever hear is, you know, soccer, it's just a game, you know. Right? Right. Now, some of you haven't seen that movie. It's called Meet the Parents, if you haven't seen that one. But good morning, Harvest. It's been a little while since I've been with you, so I think it was back in April the last time that we got to chat a little bit. So, you know, good to see all of you. You guys look great, and, if you're a visitor, you haven't been here for a while, we're in a series called Living Wisely and, you know, Uncommon Sense for a Foolish World. And so we're studying the Proverbs, just to give you a heads up, if you brought your Bible with you and you want to follow along, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1 and also spending quite a bit of time in Genesis chapter 4. But as Lindsay had told you, I'll just kind of give a little bit more background on myself for those of you that don't know me. My name is Mike Anderson, and my family and I attended Harvest here for about 4.5 years before last June we moved back to Wisconsin where we were originally from. So back to mosquitoes and humidity. But the mosquitoes here weren't all that great last night. I was getting eaten alive sitting outside. But anyway, if you know Carrie and Vanessa, they couldn't come this time, but, they're doing great, and we're getting settled back in Wisconsin, and, we're just excited because Tuesday for us is the first day of school, so we're just getting ready for that. But all is well with us. We got a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and pray for open hearts this morning. Father God, we just are so blessed and fortunate to be able to come together in this building and corporately worship you. Lord, we just pray for open and teachable hearts this morning as we study your word. The prayer is just that we'd all be able to get something out of it that we can apply to our lives and make us a better person to serve you and to further spread your grace and your word, your wisdom, your truth. Father God, this morning we have beautiful weather outside, but we know there's plenty of people that are potentially affected by Hurricane Dorian down in the southeast. Lord, we just pray for their safety. God, we pray that they would heed any warnings to evacuate, Lord, and we pray for all the first responders that they would be capable to provide the right services to those in need. In your name we pray, amen. So on May 2nd this year, police officers in the town of Genoa Township, Ohio, responded to the residence of Gabe and Jennifer Ritter. And they arrived to the residence, and after multiple attempts of knocking on the door, they forced their way in. And upon making entry into the residence, they found Gabe, his wife Jennifer, their two children, and their two dogs unresponsive. After a little bit of investigation, they found out that Gabe had recently installed a hot water heater in the house, and the exhaust pipe for the hot water heater had dislodged a little bit, and as a result was allowing carbon monoxide to leak into the home. And so, in fact, when the police arrived, the levels of carbon monoxide inside the home were so high that they had to wait about 90 minutes for the levels to come down before it was safe to enter. And the family member stated that, in days prior, for the week leading up to May 2nd, the family member had complained about feeling sick, headaches, nauseous, and, the parents had called in the kids sick from school. And so there was kind of this idea that they were getting just progressively sick and didn't know the reason why. And there was no carbon monoxide detector in the house. And so you add that all up, and unfortunately, the entire Ritter family passed away from carbon monoxide poisoning. And, carbon monoxide is really dangerous because it's all around us, right? And you guys know this. And anytime we essentially burn fuel, carbon monoxide is a byproduct that gets produced into the air. And what happens is, whether it's our car or appliance, If there's too much of that produced in too small of a space, our bodies start to breathe it in, and it starts to replace the oxygen that's in our blood with the carbon monoxide. And that's sort of the biology behind, you know, carbon monoxide poisoning. And that's what happened to the Ritters. And what's so dangerous is that carbon monoxide is not your normal toxic gas. You know, it's not like, I just take a whiff and I'm gone. You know, it's a slow progression that builds slowly over time. And as you inhale more of it, the symptoms get worse and worse and worse until ultimately you end up losing consciousness. And that's what you can see on this chart. You know, it starts out as a headache, then it turns into dizziness or nausea, and then a person might collapse, and then they lose consciousness. And the only way to reverse, you know, this progression is twofold. You know, number one, you have to have a detector that tells you that there's, you know, high levels of carbon monoxide in your area. Secondly, you have to get moved into fresh air as quickly as possible to get oxygen back into your blood. But the difficulty becomes that carbon monoxide is odorless, it's tasteless, and it's essentially undetectable by the human senses. So without a detector, you can't even tell it's there. And so that's why you guys have heard the saying, carbon monoxide is known as the silent killer. Absolutely. So nothing you guys don't know. But this morning, you know, I want to talk with you guys about a different type of silent killer that affects each and every one of us. And it's called complacency. And as we go forward, I hope that you'll see some parallels between how complacency can negatively impact our relationship with God, you know, in a similar fashion in the way CO can kind of creep into our life, or carbon monoxide can kind of creep into our life. And so we're going to use this word complacency a lot. You guys will know this word by heart, hopefully, by the time you leave here. And I want to make sure that we're all on the same page with what complacency means. And so here's the definition right from the dictionary. Complacency, self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. Okay? And so it's this idea that we're so consumed with ourselves and our immediate needs, right here in the present, that we can't see or have any awareness of our surroundings and what's going on around us. And, you know, again, I want this to be pretty clear, so if that's still a little muddy in your mind, let's just do it the way the kids do it, and let's put it to a meme, okay? All right, so this is complacency, right, in a meme. So that's you on the swing. You wanted to go to the park and swing. That behind you is the rest of your life and everything else on fire, and everybody else knows it and is aware of it except for you, okay? So complacency in a meme, right? So, you know, we can laugh about it, you know, and we kind of see that, and we're like, man, that looks kind of ridiculous. But really, complacency is a big deal, and we're warned about this, you know, in the Proverbs. If we look at Proverbs 1, chapter 32, "For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." And so, you know, the point Solomon is trying to get to us, the warning that he's kind of providing in this proverb, is that, you know, when other people reject God's offer of truth and wisdom, you know, and replace it with their own selfish desires, you know, they become blinded and sort of hardened in their life. And ultimately, it leads them down a destructive path. And it might appear, you know, it might appear in the short term that they're getting away with it, and they might even be prospering from it. But it's unsustainable. It's unsustainable, and eventually it catches up, and the consequences are never, never good. And so that leads us to sort of our problem here this morning that we've got to wrestle with and that we've got to try to attack for our own lives. And that problem is complacency is just like carbon monoxide. It works just like that in our lives. It's tasteless, It's odorless. It's undetectable virtually by the human senses. It's all around us. And it is a silent killer. And so, you know, while we're out busy doing life, working, carting the kids around, going to school, you know, serving at the church, taking vacations, all of these things that we do that sucks up our time and occupies our space and time while we're living, complacency is just in the background, building and building and building and building, and we don't even see it, we don't even realize it, and it's putting a division between us and God. We don't see, you know, when we're complacent, we don't see that instead of striving to grow our relationship with God, that we've tried to shrink God and reduce him into our life so that he doesn't get in the way of our selfish desires, so that he doesn't get in the way of our selfish pursuits. And instead of just simply following his truth, his wisdom, his instructions, you know, we start to decide what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in our life. We start to decide what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. And when we get in that space, when we're complacent, that can have devastating effects in our life. And so a great lesson in this is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 4. And this is a little bit of an extreme example, but it really makes the point that we're trying to get to here this morning. And in this well-known story, after his offering is rejected by God, Cain murders his brother Abel in a bit of anger and jealousy. And so let's pick it up in verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance, his demeanor, fell. And so that's it right off the bat. That's the silent killer. You know, if you're not careful, you kind of miss it. But Cain was complacent in his relationship with God. And we see that in the detail that Moses puts in here in his writing. You know, because he details and he puts in these details about these offerings that Cain and Abel presented. And he said about Cain's, he said, you know, God didn't consider, you know, Cain's offering worthy. You know, it wasn't his first fruits. You know, it wasn't his best fruits. You know, it was just fruits of the ground. And Cain felt like, you know, just any offering should do for God. Any offering should just please God because I'm giving it to him. There's no sacrifice. He wasn't striving to give his best to God. He was just simply trying to appease him. On the other hand, you know, the details that Abel's offering was the firstborn of his flock. You know, apparently all of the firstborn. He butchered them and offered the meat and fat portions. And this is a great deal of sacrifice in his offering. This was the best that Abel could possibly give to God. And he didn't even know if his sheep would reproduce or not at this point, or when, or how long it would take. But he still offered up the best of what he had to God. And the author of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 4, tells us this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts and thought, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. And so right away in our story, we see this contrast between Cain and Abel. We see that Cain is complacent with God, Abel is all in. And we even get a little bit more detail. When he's called out about it, he starts to get angry. So he starts to change his demeanor and the way he's presenting himself to others. It starts to change a little bit. Okay? Story goes on, verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your countenance, your demeanor fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. And so God sees it. God sees Cain struggling. And he's on the brink of heading down the wrong path. He's changed. He's starting to get angry, right? And God sounds the alarm and comes right in and offers wise counsel to Cain and tries to talk him through it. And he says, what are you so mad about? You know, if you give your best effort, if you give your best effort, I'll take it. If you truly stay connected with me, I'll receive you. And all this anger and jealousy you got, that's sin. And it's at your front door, and it's all around you, and it always will be. And it wants to suck the life out of you and bring you down. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you listen to me, you know, because I've designed you to overcome it. And all you have to do is just see it my way. Verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain ignores the alarm that God sounded in his life. And he's progressed way past the point of anger, and now he's murdered his own brother. And when God questions him about it, he shows very little to no remorse whatsoever. You know, at this point, he's down this path, and he's just doing whatever he wants, whenever he wants, no matter what the consequences are, irregardless of how it impacts him or anyone else around him. He's taken the entire situation that he was upset about into his own hands. Verse 10, and he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And so here's the crazy part. Even after all of that, you know, Cain still really doesn't get it. His first response to his punishment is about pleasing himself. Hey, the punishment is too much for me. It's more than I can bear. It's too much for me to take on. He's so complacent. He's so disconnected from God and what God wants for him in his life. And it's causing so much destruction in his life and to anyone around him that he has no idea because he can't see past himself and what he wants, his own needs, his desires. And so it's easy for us to sit and read this story this morning and, you know, just say, well, Cain was an absolute lunatic, and he was, right? And things weren't right. But if we're honest, you know, there's a little bit of Cain inside each and every one of us. And, you know, we all have a tendency to get a little bit complacent in our relationship with God. Day in, day out in the flesh, while we're caring about our business, you know, it's easy to allow complacency to sort of creep in. So to get a little clearer picture of this, let's ask ourselves a few questions, okay? Number one, do we resist, you know, receiving or seeking wise counsel? You know, either because we don't want to hear it, or maybe we're afraid that people will get to know the real us beyond the Insta face and the Snap face and all the other social media stuff that's out there. You know, you're a young person. Anytime your parents speak, and your eyes not roll to the back of your skull quick enough? Do we resist, you know, receiving wise counsel or seeking wise counsel, wise advice? Are you mismanaging, you know, your personal finances? You know, spending more than you make, overextending on credit. There's not a toy or a pair of shoes you don't want. And then you wonder at the end of each month why ends don't meet. And you for sure can't tithe or be generous with others because there's nothing left over. That's complacent. Do you talk yourself out of future success because you like the status quo and you're kind of comfortable where you're at? You know, I had a friend that had told me they had come in some extra time and they were going to become a gym rat. You know, they're going to be in the gym all day long. And they were taking a class and they went up to the instructor afterwards and thanked them for the class and said they had a great time. And the instructor said, "Great, when are you going to teach?" And my friend was just lit up saying, "Well, I'm going to try this thing, I'm going to do it." And literally it was like a shift, I could see it in like a millisecond. They started listing out like 10 reasons why they could never do it, why it wasn't possible for them. And while they were listing these things off, there was no more eye contact, there was no more smile, shoulders slumped. We talk ourselves out of our future success because we're just comfortable where we're at. That's complacent. Do you take your relationships with those closest to you for granted? Or do you try to grow and maintain them? Try to speak life into them? And this is a big one for me. Are you just using them? You know, when's the last time you said thank you to somebody that did something for you just routine? When's the last time you expressed a little bit of gratitude to those that are closest to you in your life? So the bad news is, okay, if you answered yes to any of those questions, or maybe you have a different deal that you were thinking about, congratulations, you are well on your way to becoming a murderer. But no, that's not the point we're trying to make. And again, this story is kind of an extreme example of this. But hopefully, you know, you can kind of see the parallels and a clearer picture of how complacency, you know, creeps into our life and how it can create this division, this separation between us and God. So let's land the plane. You know, and I want to kind of close our discussion with a couple of thoughts. And it's because there's good news for all of us. And so if you're like me and you answered yes to all four of those questions, I can tell you I am sane and never committed a crime. But you know, two thoughts that give us hope and that give me hope personally. And number one is that we serve an awesome God. Amen? And despite all of our foolishness, right, all of our complacency, all of our junk, you know, he will always protect us. You know? And we see that in verse 15 of our story. You know, after all of Cain's shenanigans, after all of the stuff he goes through and does, verse 15, God still protects him. And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him." You know, God still protected Cain. God showed him his grace, his mercy. And he'll show us all that same grace and mercy. And there's hope in that, and I hope you hear that this morning. Number two, God's truth and wisdom is the ultimate, you know, carbon monoxide detector. You know, and God's equipped each and every one of us with it. And he sounds the alarm in our lives all the time. You know, when we're feeling that nudge that something we want in the flesh isn't quite right, that's the alarm sounding. You know, when we feel the urge to do something new, something different, something outside of our norm, you know, that is the alarm sounding. You accidentally turned on the Dave Ramsey show. That's the alarm sounding. You know, when you feel like you're at your breaking point and you can't go anymore, don't fear. That's the alarm sounding. And so looking back at our proverb, you know, we should really take heed to Solomon's warning because, you know, you can only hear the alarm, you know, when you're rooted in God's truth and God's wisdom. Now, you can only hear the alarm, you know, if you've been stalled your detector, and that means that you're consistently seeking to grow your relationship with God, that you're letting him in and you're letting him lead in all aspects of your life, not just the areas and the spots where you're comfortable or that allow you to do what you want to do. And so the question here, you know, that we leave here with today, and that we need to make sure we have an answer for is, you know, where's the alarm going off in your life? You know, if you really think about it, where's the alarm going off in your life? Because I guarantee it's sounding somewhere. And the thing is, once we have an answer to that question, you know, we have to make sure we remember that, you know, the only way to find fresh air, to get out of that alarm, is God's truth and God's wisdom. So let's pray. Father God, we're just so thankful for your wisdom and the mercy and your protection that you give us, Lord, all the time, and all the time you're good. And Father, we pray that we would hear the alarms that you're sounding in our lives, and that we would be responsive to them, and we turn to you when we hear that alarm. And Father, we pray that we won't be complacent or apathetic in our relationship with you, in our pursuit of you. And Father, I pray that we'd all pursue you with our whole hearts. And we thank you for this word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.